This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And you are listening to 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region. And you can also find us on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. Anytime we'd love for you to hear from you as well. The number is 866-823-1077. And happy Cinco de Mayo Day.
And the same to you, sunshine.
I know.
Look at you.
I know.
Oh, you were away for a nice four-day weekend, and you spent your time where?
On the beach.
On the beach.
That is, Daryl and I are very big beach bums, and every day on the beach. Yes, it was gorgeous.
Well, it's funny because we have Susan Osborne in during the week, and she, you know, can look at your skin tones and the colors you're wearing, and what you have on today, I think, is a really good match.
Oh.
You've got, I would call it a...
Are you saying that I look nice today, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. You sure do. You've got what I would... It looks like a sleeveless fuchsia.
Oh, no, it's not sleeveless. I hate sleeveless.
Well, it looks like...
It's short sleeves.
All right, short sleeves.
Well, it's like, you know what they are? They're called cap sleeves.
All right, so you've got cap sleeves. Work with me, Carol.
I know, I'm sorry.
You've got the fuchsia top, and you have some really nice, you know, sort of soft pink tones with your tan in there, that it all just kind of works well. So
thank you.
Nicely done. See, I can't put that much thought into getting dressed every day.
Well, I really didn't.
No?
It was Cinco de Mayo, and we are going to go over to Puerto Vallarta later to see our friend Rocco. He's going to be singing tonight. So I promised him I'd go over and watch at least a couple songs or something. And I just knew I was just going to wear jeans. So I threw this top on. I really didn't think about it, Mike, honestly. But you know what I thought? You know what I thought you were getting at when you were saying colors or tan? I thought you were going to get at, I need to get my colors done again.
No, would that be I would never say that to you. You talk about your hair, right?
Either one. I wasn't sure. I'm like, oh my gosh.
No, that would not be very nice to say to you.
It's all good.
And I honestly don't evaluate you in that regard. For me, what I wear is the least wrinkly thing that is available that day.
Oh, and that was one of the big things that Susan said about men. That was
yes,
so funny.
Yes, exactly. So you you know, I know your mom is down there.
She's
so
did home she tomorrow?
Come? Oh, she is.
She comes home.
Does
tomorrow.
She come for the summer then? Up
yes.
Here?
Yes, she's see. Here now
Snowbird,
until
huh?
at least October, and then she'll come back for Christmas. That was a big topic because I went away for Christmas last year. And
oh,
I think
yes.
we're going away for Christmas this year, too.
Was that like the first time you'd gone away from Christmas for a while?
Yes.
So how dare you at this age?
She is so upset.
Change
about
it up. No. Has she backed off a little?
Nope.
Does she like Daryl?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, she should want first and most importantly, you to be happy.
You had better repeat this tomorrow because she will be upstairs tomorrow.
Is she? Okay.
Yes.
I need to have a talk with her.
You
I've never met her. She looks like
a
fun lady.
No, you are in for it.
I can handle her. I'll bat my eyes and put on that Mike Morin charm, and I will say, listen, do you want your daughter to be happy?
That's right.
Go away to a nice tropical place, or do you want her to be miserable and spend Christmas with you? What is it? Maybe I shouldn't quite put it that way.
Maybe not quite that way, but yes, no, I agree. But anyway, so how is it here? How did you have a good time?
We missed you, of course, but we found a way to fill the show with friendly banter and some good interviews. We actually yesterday talked to the top Mexican restaurateur in Chicago, who's also on PBS and has done some cookbooks, Rick Bayless.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he is quite an amazing guy. He's, I don't know, 62 or 3 years old, so he's around my age. He is doing yoga like he's a 20-year-old. I saw a picture of him where he's completely bent over, so he looks like a table, where he's not looking forward, but looking back.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
his arms are behind him, and his legs are in front of him, and he's flat like a table. It's like, dude. He said, I was 61 when I did that. He does the splits. Yeah. And he has a 1,000-square-foot vegetable patch in his yard for his 3 restaurants. That raises the equivalent of $30,000 worth of vegetables and produce and herbs every year.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Pretty interesting guy.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So
he must be getting ready for today, Cinco de Mayo.
Well, yeah.
You're lucky you got to talk to him yesterday.
I am. And my brother, who lives in Chicago, goes to his restaurants. And so I said, all right, Chris, tell me, how are they really? Because you get all the press materials
right.
and everything. He said, man, that we love his restaurants. I'm going out to Chicago for a wedding in October, so.
Oh, you got to go.
Definitely going to go.
Check it out. Yeah.
Chicago is maybe the best restaurant city.
I think so, too. I mean, it's a pretty big mecca mm-hmm. of dining. And
yeah. I mean, New York is obviously great mm-hmm. as well, but I think I'll take Chicago. It's just a little less frantic and a little bit more, I don't know, a little more personal. The Midwest feel to Chicago beats New York. Oh, I'll take New York anytime. Don't
right.
get me wrong.
Right. Yeah, New York, there's nothing like New York. Mm-hmm. We love New York. Yeah, it's fun. And let's just remind everybody, too, today at Puerto Vallarta, one of our sponsors, Mexican Grill over on 2nd Street, they're having a big Cinco de Mayo party. It's today from, well, they're doing all specials from today when they opened at 11 a.m. till close. And then I know, like, the party tonight is, I'm pretty sure it's from 4 to 8. And there'll be live music, and there's going to be drink specials all day, and dinner specials and all that. So it should be a good time. And Rocco,
Rocco Boulay, our physical fitness and wellness integrity guy. He's musically talented. What can't he do?
I know, really.
The question is, how does he get that guitar in those muscular arms and hold on to it? That's the question.
I'll take pictures tonight.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I'm all set. I'll just visualize it in my mind, Carol.
Okay, all right.
So I wanted to get back to, you know, the food component of your vacation.
Well, the food component is always a huge component when I go away.
Sure.
And because Daryl and I, you know, we do like to go out. And no, Mom did not cook.
Okay.
Mom did not cook. Although, I mean, you know, when I say Daryl and I go, we cook during the week. We stay home during the week. We mm-hmm. go out, like, you know, starting on Friday. And, yeah, we're usually out most of the weekend. But mm-hmm. anyway, the dining scene in Florida, we did, well, one of our famous places that we love to go to, right on Hollywood Beach.
In what town is this?
Hollywood.
In Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Okay.
And it's right on the beach is Nick's Bar. It's a pretty famous bar down there, mm-hmm. and you know, it's they're actually people that were from Manchester. So when you go there,
no way,
you sometimes will bump into, you know, people you know, and mm-hmm. you know, but it's right on the beach, so you literally can be sitting in the sand right there, like 20 feet away, and then Nick's Bar is right there. You can go get a drink. You can bring
like an open patio type of.
Yes, it's all
it better
open.
Be in Hollywood,
yeah,
right?
It's all open, and you can drink on the beach in Hollywood too.
You can, okay.
Yeah, you can bring your drinks right onto the beach, and we do eat there. They have a great wedge salad. Their wedge
really?
Salad is to die for. And it's fairly, it's $7.99, and it is so huge. Like, my mother and I split it, and we still had plenty left over.
Right. Now, that's with, that's like iceberg lettuce that's quartered or halved or whatever, and it's got, is it ranch dressing and bacon?
Blue cheese. Right.
Blue cheese.
Blue cheese, red onion, mm-hmm. and bacon.
Yeah.
It is really good. They have a great wedge salad.
I'm not a big fan of iceberg, but in that application, I think it works.
I am not either, and it does work in that application. I agree. You know who has a really good wedge salad, too, is the Red Arrow. Red Arrow and Jay's Tavern, like our tavern below, mm-hmm. very good wedge salads. So, anyway. And then another really fun place that we like to go to is Coconuts. It's called Coconuts in Fort Lauderdale. That is an excellent place, and it's the menu's not very big. I don't know if you saw any of my Facebook pictures, but did you see me?
I did.
When I was
a lot of sideways selfies, and I couldn't see the food though.
Well, this one I did take a picture of my food because we tagged. Well, Daryl tagged Rocco in it because I was eating sriracha mac and cheese with chicken. Oh my gosh,
that
was
sounds
so good.
Really,
and
good.
It even had some caramelized onions in it, Mike.
Really?
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Now this was at what restaurant?
Coconuts.
At Coconuts.
That's at Coconuts, right in Fort Lauderdale,
right.
And it's right on. It's in a harbor, so it's all open, and it was beautiful. And
weather was good.
Weather was could not have been any more perfect.
I mean, I can see it in your suntan that the weather must have been really good.
It was perfect. It was very, very good. Mm. So
you know, I don't mind going to places like that, even in the hot time of the year. I mean, I'll go to Florida in July. I don't care.
Yeah. You know, my mother had said the week before was very, very hot. It was like in the 90s, mm-hmm. humid and hot.
I think near record-breaking weather.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And when we were there, it was like 78, 80, nice breeze, mm-hmm. sitting on the beach. It was a nice breeze. One day we were in the water almost like a couple hours. I mean, the water was gorgeous. We just kind of floated around in the water. And then the other days it was a little rough. And as a matter of fact, there was a tragedy in Miami Beach on Sunday. Two girls went out, and there were very, very big rip currents,
mm-hmm.
rip tides.
Rip tides, yeah.
And one of them died. Mm. Awful.
Yeah, that kind of scares me. I'm not the world's greatest swimmer, so I go on up to my knees and I say I'm all set.
Well, you know, the flag was red, and red
so
is
know that. Yeah.
Caution. Well, not red is you're not supposed to go in, and it's danger. Exactly.
Danger, Will Robinson.
At your own, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very sad.
Well, that's a shame. So you're able to drink on the beach in Florida, huh?
Yeah.
Legally?
Yeah.
Only in front of, say, the establishment that you bought it from?
No, you can walk down the boulevard with a drink. You can.
Oh, on the boulevard as well.
You like, you know, there's Nick's and then there's the boulevard and then
okay,
the beach.
Then the beach.
So, you know, people walking back and forth like
so
this.
So it's kind of like Vegas with waterfront.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And did you close the places down?
No. Oh, no, we're not night people. Mm-mm. No, we were back at I think our latest night might have been 8 p.m.
Really? Oh, my.
Serious. Yeah. Yeah, we're not.
Do you play board games when you're on vacation? Do you do that?
No.
You know, like Scrabble or, you know. Okay.
Nope.
Eat and drink and go in the ocean.
Yeah.
Pretty much sums it up, huh? Yeah.
Spend some time with mom and, you know, yeah.
So, fun.
Yeah. So that's about it. But today we have coming on, we're going to be talking with Mark Murphy.
That is true.
Yeah.
Mark Murphy from the Food Network's.
Food Network. Chopped.
The show is Chopped. He also has a new cookbook out called Seasons with Authority, Confident Cooking. And he'll be joining us actually in probably about 10 minutes or so. And who else? Oh.
Coupon for She's a Riot.
Yeah. I haven't seen Kim in a couple of years. Kim Bergeron, the Extreme Coupon Professors. I just saw her website today for the first time in a couple of years. There is so much information.
Isn't it crazy?
It's so helpful.
Yep,
so
it is.
She's really turned that into a very nice little business for herself.
Very much. Very much.
And she's also involved with, you know, giving back to the community. She gets out and she teaches a lot of classes on how to save money.
Couponing. I went to one time.
Oh, you did?
I went to one that she did at Shaw's in Goffstown. And that was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. It was fun. So, yeah, you learn a lot from Kim. So stay tuned, listeners.
I, you know, I don't do a lot of couponing. I know I should if there's one that's smacking me in the face.
That's the same with me. I'm bad. I went just to be able to – I really wanted to see if you could really do it and how you do it. You know, my daughter actually came with me too, and she's a big coupon person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it does
very
work.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, of course, Julie Barron of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire will be on. So
we do have a full show for the most part today. Just to let you know who we've got coming up for the rest of the week, you met some people at the Made in New Hampshire Try It and Buy It Expo, Ma's Italian Biscottis.
Yum.
And the people that make those will be here tomorrow. And I love this lady, Donna's Delight.
Oh,
Donna from Delaware.
Good old Donna.
Who knows what she'll be sharing with us tomorrow, but I'd almost rather not know, actually. Chef Patrick, of course, joining us as well. So, yeah, we're lining up some fun people.
Yeah.
Oh, and a woman who is a pretty well-known cookbook author joining us just booked Hillary Davis on Friday at 1 o'clock.
Good.
So, yeah. And
beautiful.
I think, didn't you line somebody up who used to produce Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Yes, David Page.
So this is because Guy Fieri came to New Hampshire and did a piece on the Red Arrow. And so you've stayed in touch with him or?
I have. I back when he was here, which was in 2007, I had my radio show that was just on Sundays.
Right.
And we had David Page call in a couple times. It was very interesting. And then it was our 2-year anniversary. It was either our 1-year or 2-year anniversary. I don't remember quite which one, but J-Dog, you know, he does the controls here, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's how we communicate. And he puts up on it, Guy Fieri's on the line. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Guy Fieri's on the line. Sure, J-Dog. And then all of a sudden you hear, you know, Guy going, hey, Carol, how's it going? I'm like, is this for real? So David had got him to call in that day, which was really cool.
How long did it take? How long was he here for the recorded or the taping portion of the segment?
That is a good question. That was back in 2007, which was his first season.
Yes.
And the whole crew came on a Wednesday, and they were there all day. So they do a lot of all of the pre-shoot things,
mm-hmm.
like all the food things, the steps of the food,
okay.
and, you know, and all that. And then they all come back with Guy on Saturday. They came back on Saturday. And he was actually there. He got there at like about 8:30 in the morning. And his wife is local Connecticut. And her whole family was up too. And, you know, it was like a big bunch of his friends and family were there. And And he was there literally all day from like 8 to 5. But from what I understand now, you know, because I've been to a lot of the places like this, his place in New York, I'm friends with like the employees over there and stuff like that. And they say now he hardly stays. I mean, they pretty much do 95% of it. He comes and they just do those, you know, when you see him and they kind of.
Yeah, back, you see him on the grill.
Superimpose it in or, you know, however they do it. But yeah. So it's not for very long. They say it's the most a couple hours.
All right. So this guy.
So David Page.
David Page.
Page Productions.
Does he have a new show?
He is running and he's producing a new show and it's called Beer Geeks and it's in its second
Beer Geeks?
Season. So,
Is it on Food Network or is it?
You know what? It's on TV. It's on TV. It's on the computer.
Oh, it's an online.
It is an
internet
online
show?
Internet TV show. Yes, but I believe it's going to be going on TV. He'll give us all the scoop on because when I talked to him a little bit ago, it was on its way that way, and we'll see what he comes up with on Friday.
Fun.
And then we'll also talk with Michael Hopley Pierce, and he's a local guy, and he is big. He has his own tap handle show. It's called, and he has his own beer show that he does, and that's on.
Is that local?
Yes, he's local. They record it in Salem, and it's on. It's a podcast.
Okay.
So he's very interesting. He's going to be opening up his own brewery.
Oh, so like a craft brewery, or
yes,
very nice,
so
boy.
We'll find out.
You kind of wonder when this whole craft beer thing is going to just reach its saturation point. It doesn't appear to be that I can see. Anyway.
I don't think so either. It seems, I mean, when we were talking with Burt's Better Beers was here a while ago and talking about, you know, beer pairings, you know, like wine pairings.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh, people really do that? But it's very popular, I guess.
Cool.
So, I think we're going to go on break.
Do we not have a food holiday today?
We do have a food, it's Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, okay.
And maybe in a little bit, I do have, you know, a few notes on Cinco de Mayo we can talk about.
Well, I think we may have a few spots that we can do that. So
yeah, so we'll chat about Cinco de Mayo. But that is the – and it's also National Hoagie Day.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right. Not even sure what a hoagie is.
You know, isn't it some kind of a grinder or something?
Oh,
isn't that what it is,
that
hoagie?
There's so many different names
for
grinders, hoagies,
yodos. Different parts of the region and country and all that.
Whatever you want to call them.
So, all right. Well, you're listening to Food for Thought. We're on the Pulse 107.7. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Mark Murphy, one of the judges of CHOPS. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, it's just past 12:30. Food for Thought, WTPL, The Pulse, 107.7. Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin on this Cinco de Mayo. Our show brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale & Company. Also, our newest sponsor, Grasshopper's Garden Center, where the customer comes first, 728 North River Road, New Boston, grasshoppergardencenter.com. And we're just a few days away from Mother's Day. The Pulse Mother's Day contest continues this week. Grand prize winner will receive an overnight stay at the Gunstock Inn in Guilford, complete with dinner and spa services. You'll have a chance to qualify later on. You never know when that's going to happen. The winner will be selected Friday morning. We've been telling you that we have connected with one of the judges from CHOPS. His name is Mark Murphy. He's a restaurant owner. He's a really cool guy. And I'm surprised, Carol, that this is actually his first cookbook. You'd think somebody as accomplished as him would have had a couple under his belt by now.
This is true. You would think so.
So here
he
is.
But he's too busy. He's too busy judging.
Yeah, exactly. So the cookbook is called Seasoned with Authority, Confident Home Cooking. Mark Murphy joining us. All right, so Mark, after all your time as a judge on CHOPS, can you assure me that none of the recipe ingredients in Seasoned with Authority will include goat brains or stinky tofu?
There's none of that stuff in my book. Actually, it's completely the opposite. I wanted to make a book that people could actually cook from, and I used pretty much normal ingredients throughout the whole book.
That is such a relief. A good example of how your recipes are very approachable is your spaghetti alla carbonara. It's been 30 years since I've had it, but you make it look pretty easy. I think I'm going to give it a shot.
It's amazing. You picked up that's probably one of my favorite dishes in the world right there. And yes, it's very easy. I think that, I used to make it when my background is I was born in Italy and, I grew up in Italy and in France. My mother's French. I'm half French, but I remember I ended up in boarding school in New Hampshire at one point. I was missing pasta so much. I ended up going to a grocery store and making spaghetti carbonara on two little hot plates in my dorm, and the kids, all my friends were like, "Man, this is good stuff." Yeah, funny stuff.
Which school was that, Mark?
Oh, I went to a place called Proctor Academy in Andover, New Hampshire.
Oh my gosh, did you know Bob Livingston? This is Carol of the Carol and Mike. Sorry, Mark.
I did know Bob. He was the athletic director.
Yes, he was. Oh my gosh, he worked. he worked for the Pulse for many years, and he moved. I think he's gone. He moved away to South Carolina, but he worked here on the Pulse for quite, you know, a few years, and he finally retired a couple years ago.
Oh, that's very funny.
Yeah, that is funny.
How did you like it in New Hampshire for the time you were here? Because I mean, Andover's out in the middle of nowhere. If you like skiing, you're in good shape.
Yeah, it was good. Whenever I would get in trouble, they would make me work in the kitchen, my penance, and that's where I felt most comfortable.
That's so funny. I heard you went to school in Italy also. How were the school lunches in Rome?
You know, Rome was fantastic. It was. I went to an American school in Rome. It was called Notre Dame International School of Rome. And it was fantastic because they basically hired all these ladies from Italy, from around the school, to come and cook for all these kids. And they were in there rolling cannelloni, making spaghetti alle vongole, making these beautiful. And I remember some of the kids used to complain about the school. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is like the best restaurant in town.
And
I used to go up for thirds and fourths. And I remember all the ladies in the kitchen. They always used to love me and pinch my cheeks. They're like, here comes that little kid who loves to eat.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
It's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Our guest is Chef Mark Murphy. His new book just out, Seasoned with Authority, Confident Home Cooking. All right. So I saw you tell Rachel Ray that cooking is a survival skill. And for you, that was literally the case. You came to New York. You're 19. You have dyslexia. And you fear that you could become homeless. So you learn to cook. Do I have that kind of right?
Yeah, you know, I did grow up with dyslexia, and people really didn't know what it was back then. My father's an American diplomat, so we moved every 2 years. So, you know, getting grounded in education was a little difficult for me. And then, yes, I finally got out of high school. I graduated from a high school in Maine in the end. I came to New York, and the one thing I didn't want to be was hungry. So I thought, well, if I learn how to cook, at least I won't be hungry. I thought, well, you know, if I'm flipping burgers, at least I can eat one every once in a while. They probably let me have one. And then I literally went to a quick 3-month cooking school and then got a job. And I tell people I got addicted to cooking. I mean, one, I always loved to eat. That was probably the best training I had, was growing up in Europe and having a good palate develop. But two, it was just, I loved the ambiance. I loved the camaraderie. I loved that I didn't have to wear a suit. I loved that I could just go to work and have fun, and I got paid for it. It was crazy.
Mark, I saw Bachelorette Andy Dorfman tweet out the following. Celebrating Chef Mark Murphy's new cookbook, Seasoned with Authority. He promises to teach me so I can land a man. Never thought that would be a problem. Well, I'm saying I never thought that would be a problem in her life, landing a man. What's up with that?
You know what? I know her. She's a friend, but I try not to get involved in her personal life. And I thought it was a very funny tweet. She sent that out. It was very funny. We had a little book party, and she came by. She's very, very sweet. But yeah, I guess, you know, I think everybody's got to learn how to cook. And if you're going to want to get to a man or a woman's stomach, or to their heart, you got to go through their stomach anyway. So I think it's probably important. I'll be taking Andy for some lessons soon.
I heard you say you don't necessarily want to own the hot restaurant in town because after six months of long lines, you have 6 months of no one coming. How do you have it both ways?
Well, here's the thing is I all my restaurants are, I start with a neighborhood restaurant. I think a neighborhood restaurant is the one that's going to be able to support you for 20, 30 years, however long your lease is or however long you want to be there. Yes, I think it's important. I think that, you know, the hot restaurants, everybody comes once and they never come back. Especially if it's hard to get into. And that's why I, first and foremost, I cater to the people that live around the restaurant, and we try to get to know them because those are the customers you really want to coddle because you want to, and also the restaurants that I run are accessible enough that you can come 2 or 3 times a week to the restaurant. You don't have to just go on Christmas or a special holiday or an anniversary or a birthday. You can come and eat in my restaurants 2 or 3 times a week and feel fine about it. And look, it's like my book. They're easy enough recipes. You could probably do them at home, but if you come here after long days of work, you get the same thing, and you don't have to wash the dishes. We do that for you.
Chef, I talked to Ted Allen a couple years ago. We interviewed the Chopped Toast, and I asked him, who are the masochists who create the baskets of the mystery ingredients? And he told me there was actually a rhyme and reason for every basket. So what's your take on that question?
I first of all, there's Rob, who's one of the head chef at the Food Network, him and this girl, Sarah, they put the baskets together. They sort of collaborate on that. I guess there is a rhyme or reason, but they never tell me about it. I'll tell you that. Sometimes I don't see any rhyme or reason coming out of those things. but it's a fun show. It's great to see people come on there and be inspired by food, be inspired by ingredients, be inspired by the industry that I love and love to work in.
That's great. Can you tell us why being involved with Share Our Strength is so important to you?
Well, Share Our Strength is one of those organizations that I think they're doing amazing work. They're trying to get all of our children fed in this country, and if a lot of people don't know, we're one of the richest countries in the world, but a lot of kids go hungry. You know, they just don't get enough food. It's absolutely ludicrous. But, you know, as I said, a kid cannot learn. They can't learn how to play. They can't learn at all if they're hungry. When you have a stomachache, you're not going to learn anything. And I think it's important that we feed our kids in this country so we can have a stronger nation. And it's become a real problem. I mean, some people think, oh, there's too much food, there's too much obesity, but it's the same. It's the same problem with two different sides of the coin, and it's very sad. It actually, we've highlighted it on the Food Network, on Chopped. Food Network is very much behind Share Our Strength as well. We did some episodes with Sam Cass, who was the chef at the White House at the time, and he actually told me, he said, you know, 50% of the kids that are trying to get into the armed forces right now are rejected because of malnutrition. So it's become, I think, a national security issue as well. We have to feed our kids, and if we feed them, we can then educate them. I mean, you can't be educated if you're hungry.
That's true.
Final question, Chef. I was kind of surprised when I read this was your first cookbook with all your culinary experience. How long does it take to assemble, I think it was, what, 130 recipes to get it just right, to make sure it all is correct? How long did it take to put the Season with Authority together?
Well, it took about a year. You got to put the recipes together. You got to test them, and then of course, then it goes into the publisher's hands where they got to lay it out, and they got to edit, and they got to edit again, and then they got to edit again. I'm like, oh my God, is this thing ever going to end? I keep reading it over and over. But no, it takes about a year, and it was a fun project. Looking back at everything that I've done and some of the recipes that I've missed it really was the reason why I fell in love with food. It was interesting, and it was a lot of fun. It was literally like a long therapy session pulling this book out, you know, going back and thinking about where I came from. It was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Well, now that we know you have roots in New Hampshire to some degree, if you're ever up here, we have a really cool daily cooking or food show set in probably the only studio in the world that has all cooking stuff, you know, from all the ingredients to KitchenAid mixers. It's really cool, and I think you would enjoy a live visit. Should you ever get up here, we'd love to host you.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Maybe I'll go to my high school reunion.
There you go.
Cookbook, the brand new one from Mark Murphy, is Seasoned with Authority, Confident Home Cooking. He owns restaurants in New York, as you know, and watch for him on the Food Network's Chopped. Chef, a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks for getting the word out about the book.
That was awesome. What a great guy.
I would love to. I think the Red Arrow could do a cookbook. There's so many signature things that you do. And that you make over the years, almost 100 years now.
Yeah, we've talked about that many times, and we talk about it, but no one seems to do anything about it. But I'm not sure I have no idea how to write a book, although I guess I should ask you because you've written a book.
I have, but my book was Recipes for Disaster instead of for Great Meals like the Red Arrow. Well, you never know.
Yeah,
we could talk.
Who knows? Yeah, I think we should. I get told that all the time. So between my brother, you know, he owns a couple of big apartment buildings, and one of them is actually right around the corner from the Red Arrow, Alley Cat Pizzeria building.
Oh, okay.
You know, him and I talk that, you know, we should write a book together because we'd probably make more money that way between his landlords and our customers and employees. But anyway, all right, we're going to go on a short break. You're listening to Food for Thought 107.7 WTPL. And coming up next, we're going to be – oh, actually, no, not next. We're not at the top. I'm thinking we're at the top of the hour right now. When we come back, I think we're going to talk some Cinco de Mayo, and I think we
love
a trivia.
All right.
We have a trivia, too.
I'm ready.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this absolutely gorgeous day. I mean, I don't think it could be any more perfect out there.
75 degrees.
Yeah, and for the taco tour on Thursday, it's supposed to be like between 80 and 85, I heard.
Thursday? 84 is the high Thursday. And it starts at 4, so probably we'll be in the mid-80s at that point.
I know.
There's a lot of shade on Elm Street, you know.
Right. We'll be fine where we are. We're going to be actually ideal.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to be right at the Beacon Building, correct?
We're going to be right outside the Beacon Building right here, and we'll be broadcasting a second Food for Thought that day at 6:30.
This is Food for Thought After Hours.
After Hours.
Boys and girls.
And we're going to be following J-Dog all around.
Well, he claims to hope to put a dent in the 40 available different kinds of tacos and report back to us. So we'll see.
I cannot wait. have you met J-Dog before?
Oh, I sure have.
Okay,
sure.
So you have, yes. Right. I mean, he just
producer
he
and extraordinaire.
Yes,
and sports. Sidekick sometimes.
Yes.
Sports aficionado. And this is the Cinco de Hippo. No, what's it called again?
Hippo de Mayo.
Hippo de Mayo, that's
Hippo
it.
Hippo de Mayo taco tour. So that's going to be Thursday from 4 to 8. And for listeners that are listening that have never been, it's a great event to go to. It's pretty much like the event of the year, really, in Manchester. It's
attended
15,000 to 17,000 people. And doesn't cost you money to get in. You pretty much just come and walk around to the 40-plus restaurants that will be serving tacos, and everybody has all different tacos. They're just – everybody does their own little twist on their tacos.
$2. That's all it is, too.
$2.
So it's not like, all right, $10 to get in or $20 or whatever, and now I got to buy my food, too.
Right. Exactly.
Eat as much or as little as you like and pay accordingly.
Exactly.
So Midtown Cafe is doing your take on tacos.
Midtown is doing it. Red Arrow's doing it. And like I said, there's over 40 restaurants that are involved in it. So
it runs pretty much from Bridge Street down to Granite Street for the most part. And then there's a few little nooks and crannies off of Elm Street.
Right, like Consuelos, Ticaria, you know, they do it, which is, you know, a little bit up. Ignite does it, and Hooked, which is, you know, up Hanover Street. And it's really a fun event, especially where it's going to be beautiful.
Weather will be fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to be working it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I assume we'll be able to sample a taco or two,
Carol. Yes, I believe that we will.
Not driving in for the second show of the day without being fed.
Really? No
after
kidding.
After all.
And you know what? With it being Cinco de Mayo, how about if we put out a trivia? We have some prizes here from Hilltop Pizzeria, as well as
Grasshopper's Garden Center.
Grasshopper's Garden Center.
They're on New River Road. I gave their old address yesterday because it's on the gift card.
Ooh.
So my bad on that. But their new location is on New River Road in New Boston. I should know that. I've known Keith, and I remember when they were just getting ready to open it. They've got a beautiful gift center now as part of it. In addition to all the things for your lawn and garden, well, mostly your garden. And they are such experts. I remember buying some stuff a couple of years ago. I said, well, don't plant that in the sun, or they give you really good information. Don't overwater it and do this, do that. So $20 to spend there at the newest location of Grasshopper's Garden Center.
There you go.
So, all right, so what you got a brain buster there, Carol?
I have a brain buster.
Okay.
And it's for Cinco de Mayo. What is the most popular item served on Cinco de Mayo? And there is a top three.
Okay.
So
should we tell people it's not tacos just so that we won't waste your time? It is not tacos. It's not the number one meal request on Cinco de Mayo.
Exactly. So 866-823-1077. Give us a call. What is one of the top three Cinco de Mayo meals? Or it's actually what the Mexicans.
Yeah. We'll say the main entree. It's one particular item, right?
Right. Exactly.
Which is something that is really, really delicious.
I myself don't like that. That's okay. Probably the one Mexican. So if anybody listening that knows me, they know the answer.
Okay.
But that's okay. We won't say anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Even though you get it at all Mexican restaurants, I don't see it ordered that much.
I don't think so.
So
either.
I'm not sure where the survey comes from, but you know, New Hampshire isn't exactly a hotbed of Mexican, you know, dining.
Right.
I mean, there's just not a whole lot of heritage here from that area. But
they've popped up so much lately.
True.
Really, all these little, you know,
it's about time.
It's true. And Puerto Vallarta, I think by far is, because I usually when they pop up, I go mm-hmm. check them out because I love, and my brother and I both love Mexican. So we'll always go check them out. So, but Puerto Vallarta, I think is one of the very good ones.
Did we give the phone number?
866-823-1077. And actually we have Ginger from Guilford calling in. Hi, Ginger.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Good. How are you?
Happy Cinco de Mayo, Ginger.
That's right. And I actually was going to say margarita until you said food item.
Oh, yeah. No, it is right, a food item. And it's not tacos.
All right. And I'll give you another clue because we're up against the clock here.
No, I think, nachos, guys. Nachos.
No. I'm trying to help you here. It's something that chocolate is often a part of the ingredient for this particular entree.
Chocolate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chili.
No.
I've had chocolate in my chili, but no, I'm raising a blank here. Sorry, guys.
Well, we are too. But Ginger, we're glad you called. And are you celebrating Cinco de Mayo in any form or fashion tonight?
Well, I think that's why I thought of margaritas first.
Ah, girl after my own heart. Hey, have a great day and enjoy the weather. And thanks for calling and listening.
Super. Bye bye now.
Bye, Ginger. All right, so what is the number one entree or food request for Cinco de Mayo?
Here you go, 866-823-1077. And, you know, I was looking up, I love the, you know, the food history and what happened this day, you know, many, many years ago. And in 1926, on this day, Ann B. Davis was born. Do you remember who
Ann B. Davis, of course, from the Brady Bunch.
Good. That's old, right. Alice.
Alice.
Alice was awesome.
She didn't pass away that long ago either.
Well, 1974.
No. She died more recently than that. That's when they were doing the show.
I'm sorry. That's the show.
Yes.
You're right. I'm like, 1974.
She was only 48 then. No, she passed away not that long ago, a couple years maybe.
Yeah, that's true. I seem to remember that, two, three years ago. You're right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and the first franchised Hardee's fast food restaurant opened in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina.
Oh.
Back in 1961.
Our trivia question, very similar to that yesterday, was what was the first hamburger franchise to open up in this country in 1921? It was White Castle.
There we go. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good. You?
We need to be a little quick here because we're going to be, the clock is going to start. Well, the clock is ticking. So do you know what the number one, one of the top three Mexican dishes that is served on Cinco de Mayo Day? Not tacos and not nachos.
I don't know if I'm saying it right, but mole.
You got it.
Okay.
The chocolate helped you, didn't it?
Yeah, the chocolate. Yeah, it definitely gave it away.
There you go. All right, Eric. You can stay on the line and give Bob your information, and then I will send you out a gift pack.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Eric. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks. Eric just won a $25 gift certificate to Hilltop Pizzeria, as well as Grasshopper's Garden Center.
In New Boston.
In New Boston, yeah. Sounds good. All right. We are at the top of the hour. You're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 FM. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to the coupon professor, Kim Bergeron. We'll be right back.